Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Roski Mascani, and on the panel this evening, we have Professor Amin Ross, we have Sister Sophia, and Brother Mashinda. Our guest for this evening is Dr. Inky Real. Dr. Inky Real has been on our show. I didn't even go back and count, but he's been on here. This may be his fifth visit. Maybe. I'm not sure. I didn't even go back and count because we got 1,000 shows on YouTube. So I'm just going to say this. Dr. Inky is one of our unofficial team members. So
He comes on
and he joins us and give us this great information that he provides. And Brother Ahi just showed up. So he's another one of our team members that's always here. But we always appreciate Dr. Inky coming on because he has a wealth of information. He's well studied and he's willing to teach on a consistent basis. So our topic for this evening is bone regeneration. I think that's something we all would like to want to know about. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Dr. Inky. Thanks again for coming. And it's your floor.
Awesome. All right. So somebody's mic sounds a little crazy. Is that some feedback? Is that my feedback?
That must be wrong.
Okay. But what I was going to say is, I guess we could start at bones are such a big conversation. Bones are a really big conversation. I guess we could start in school. In school, we were kind of taught that the bones were dead, right? They were kind of just there, right? And building on that science, you have another thing that goes on throughout academia is where people don't like to step on other folks' toes. So that's kind of a good thing everywhere except for science. And what I mean by that is when old information is outdated, a lot of times because of respect, reverence, fear of not being promoted or whatever the case may be, instead of just knocking out the outdated information, they will sit the new information like side by side with the outdated information and not really tell everybody this information's outdated. So you kind of have, different streams of information floating around at the same time. And so, there was a space where the bones weren't really a thing. Then there was a space where the bones were important as much as, started the whole milk industry as a vessel to get vitamin D into your body, specifically for people that were challenged in terms of getting sunlight. and then, turn of the century, you had a lot of research focused on blood and things like that. So that also created a different lane. Maybe after the Great Depression, in that era, maybe the 40s, 50s, and 60s, it really heated up. So you have conversations surrounding bone marrow. And so bone marrow kind of, is its own universe of information and science. And so you kind of have bone still as, just like inanimate, it just holds up the body. But then you have this conversation of bone marrow that's adjacent to that conversation. And both of those things can't be true at the same time. The bone marrow is inside of the bone. And as research goes on and people continue to explore the body, bone marrow becomes more and more and more and more and more important. I mean, it's the source of all your blood. So it should be right up there with the heart. You know, we should think of our bones with the same regard as we do the heart or the brain. The heart and the brain can't function without the bones. The bones is what provides, you know, literally you can't say anything. I mean, like, that's your blood literally comes from your bones. So even the phrase like trying to squeeze blood out of a rock, it's kind of an outdated phrase because your body squeezes blood out of rock every day. Like you're making millions of blood cells from out of this living rock that, you know, that we call our bones. So that's the first thing I think is the misconceptions, maybe to get out of the idea that, you know, the bones are like just like a dead material. All life is coming out of the bones. The bones is probably the most important tissue outside of, you know, outside of the heart. The bone will be the most important tissue. And, you know, maybe at some point in the future, bones will be seen as a part of the cardiovascular system because of the fact that they provide all of your blood cells and your immune cells. So that's the other part to the bone, is that, you know, as the pandemic kind of opened up some good doors, you know, we tend to only harp on the negative sides of, you know, what the pandemic did to the world, but the pandemic made people a lot more interested in their health, made people a lot more health conscious, made people a lot more curious about what an immune system is. You know, they started to see stuff on the news about, you know, adaptive immunity and this is and that. And, you know, so people started to have some questions. But in regard to our conversation, all of that's generated in the bones, right? So when you start to have those type of conversations, because typically when we think of bone health, you know, for most people it's ankles and knees, and then, you know, we get into shoulders and elbows, and then, you know, it's mostly like joints, it's joint health. You know, as we get older, it becomes the hips, you know, people over, like, I think 60, people over age 60, falling down is like one of the leading causes of death. Just because, you know, we haven't taken care of our bones well into our later years. So I just think the whole entire conversation about bone has to change first. That's the first part, because bones are treated in such a like a matter of fact kind of way, like an accessory, like an extra thing. Like, so because there's no reverence, there's no respect put on the bones name, so to speak, you know, we got to put some respect on the bones. People aren't, you know, the health craze hasn't reached the bones. The health craze hasn't reached the bones because people, you know, everything is commerce driven. Everything is commerce driven. So, you know, people aren't driven to discuss a thing that they can't really monetize that much. That's why, you know, I thank God for people like Sophia and the other supporters that, you know, that support me via the books and Patreon and just every way that they can, so that I can continue to discuss, you know, some of the things that, you know, that need to be discussed that aren't really getting as much attention as they should. So, you know, when the health industry starts to sell a lot more products prominently for the bones, then people will start popping up with podcasts and different, you know, ads and commercials and health platforms will pop up around bone issues, even though they're really popping up because they're being sponsored by, you know, advertising dollars to promote products. You know, it's like the knowledge and the information is almost a side effect at this point. If people put out some products to sell, then people will start to educate people so that they can sell the product. If there's no product to sell, then there's no education happening. So that's what I think has to happen with the bones. Once people realize that the bones are overlooked and the bones is a different type of tissue. The bones are piezoelectric. So it's not even possible for us to take care of the bones without understanding that the bones are piezoelectric. That means that you have to apply pressure to the bones daily. Your bones have to have pressure applied to them. That's what determines the balance between the osteoclast and the osteoblast. For people that don't know, osteoclasts and osteoblasts are basically the construction workers that live inside your bone. They live inside and around your bone. And you can almost think of it like a scale. The more pressure you put on your bones, the more dense your bones are built. The more you're sending a signal to build denser, stronger bones. The less pressure you put on your bones, you actually have active cells that are designed to break the bones down, because maintaining your bone is a costly, it's a costly endeavor for your body. It's a very costly endeavor. Bone is a very expensive tissue. And so because it's so expensive, you have two different cell groups that are working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, making sure that your bones are no more dense than they need to be. And the way that your body decides that is your daily pressure load, how much pressure you put on your bones. Now, outside of the pressure, you know, we need to have the nutrition, right? So, you know, your bones are protein, just like, you know, just like muscles, I guess, to an extent, right? Water and protein. The only thing is, it's a different type of protein, right? Your muscles require proline, glycine, and hydroxyproline. Those are the amino acids that form the bulk of the collagen in your body. Outside of those guys, outside of the three main amino acids, you need, what do you need? You need lysine, and then you need vitamin C. Lysine, vitamin C, and copper. So you need lysine, vitamin C, copper, and then you need the amino acids, proline, glycine, and hydroxyproline. But before people just go, oh man, this video was quick. That was all I needed right there. Doc, we out. We're going to order us some products on Amazon. You need the pressure on the skeletal system. Like, that is the key part. Like, you have to flip on the pressure switch. Otherwise, you're just urinating out and pooping out. Like, literally, your money for supplements is going down into the toilet. So I know there's a lot of people that may already, you know, they're kind of hip to an extent. Like, they've started purchasing, like, maybe collagen protein powders or bone broth and things like that. Most of that stuff is going into the toilet.
Dr. Enke, mm-hmm. Well, when you say put pressure on the bones, what would put pressure on the bones? Can you give an example of what that?
Yeah, sure. Exercise. Yeah. Any type of exercise. You know, like jumping jacks or jumping rope is great. Jogging, running.
What about walking?
I was gonna say up tempo walking is good. But I mean, listen, you got to do it in baby steps. So if you haven't been doing it at all, like, yeah, you need to start, you know, you got to start walking, getting it going. But some people, some people don't really dig deeper into the idea of exercise. So if I say exercise, it may go over some people's head because they might be like, oh, well, you know, I'm doing the Stairmaster, or, you know, I ride a bike, or I'm swimming, or, you know, I go to the gym and I do, like, you know, I do different machines and things like that in the gym. Not all exercise is created equal. So you need stuff that typically, and here's going back to the fundamental part. Stuff comes in trends. Information, you know, especially health information, comes in trends. So there was a trend late 90s, early 2000s, where, you know, they were selling sneakers, really expensive sneakers and walking shoes for, you know, hundreds of dollars into the, you know, $800, even $300. Like, they were selling walking shoes and running shoes at a high dollar amount for avoiding shock on the bones. And you still have some of that information floating around when they say, well, you know, jogging or running or jumping is not that healthy for you because it shocks the bones and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's a part of that outdated thinking. Literally, those shocks to the bone is what tells your bones to grow, you know. And there's a difference between, like, you know, saying, okay, well, I'm an adult, you know, I'm, you know, my bones aren't necessarily going to grow. That's, you know, that's an inaccuracy that's taken out of context. Everybody's bones are growing every single day. You know, like while we're sitting here right now, your bones are being remodeled. And so the idea with exercising for the bones is you have to put shock on the system, right? But it has to be maintained daily. It can't be something like, oh, you know, three times a week I do this. You know, this isn't that. This has to be something daily that you're going to do forever. So, you know, you can have a baseline where, like, every day you're going to walk, but you have to mix it up sometimes and add some jogging, some running, some jumping. You know, our body was designed for it. And, you know, the more we create luxury and technology to do things for us, it puts us in a place where we're not putting, you know, that pressure that we need on our skeletal system. So the only type of pressure we're putting on our skeletal system, it's like we're almost putting our skeletons, our bones, between a rock and a hard place. I know that's a crazy analogy, but the less exercise we do, our bones get weaker and weaker. As our bones get weaker, the things that we depend on the bone for also get weaker. Our supply of blood gets weaker. Our supply of immune cells gets weaker. So as our blood supply is getting weaker, as our immune cells are getting weaker, our immune system and our cardiovascular system get weaker. As our cardiovascular system and our immune system get weaker, we have more stuff going on with us, more infections, more this, that, blood pressure, you know, all of these other things creep up on us because our systems are getting weaker. And we're, like, demanding more from a system, which is our bones, that we're not even tying these things to. We're not tying the immune system to the skeletal health. We're not tying the cardiovascular system to our skeletal health. We're not tying obesity to our skeletal health, but you know, that's the other part of the conversation, is that now we're finding out your bones actually produce, you know, proteins, molecules that are hormone-like, that are controlling the behavior of some of these external, you know, or auxiliary systems in our body, where we didn't understand this before. So now there's even a conversation of, you know, how the bone is working with the lymphatic system, you know, to alleviate the body, you know, it can be a cause or it can be a cure, so to speak. It could be a gift or a curse in terms of autoimmune disease and cancer and some of these other issues that we're dealing with. So we got to get direct pressure on the skeletal system, and then we need to maintain it so that our body understands, okay, you know, this is something that we have to deal with. So we need to build. We need to go into build mode. We need to put our skeletal system into anabolic mode, right? So in that space, we turn the switch, and now vitamin D, vitamin K, you know, your parathyroid gland, you know, they start to put in mineral into the bone, right? You have less issues with soft artery, you know, soft tissue hardening, right? Which is a complication in and of itself, but that's a part of having weak bones, is that, you know, you start to get, you know, artery, you know, soft tissue hardening, because we have processes for building bone that is ongoing. And when we don't direct those processes correctly, they spin out of control and then they're all over the place. So, you know, it's a combination of nutrition and then, you know, specific exercises, but, you know, not complicated, not crazy. You know, jumping jacks is great. You know, a jumping rope.
Can we go around and get a few questions before you move forward? Okay. Brother Mashinda.
Yes, sir.
Any questions or comments about that? He'll come back. He kind of went out, but
yeah, but I don't have any questions.
You don't have no questions? You have any comment about that? Have you ever heard that before?
Well, somewhat. Some of the things I'm listening to, yeah, I've heard, you know, some similarities, but you know, I'm just enjoying it. I'm interested in hear it more. Yeah, I've heard some things, but he's introducing some things that I'll continue to research.
Yeah, this is a first for me when he said that. I haven't thought about that, so it's interesting. Any comments, Mr. McBride?
Well, yeah, I was just kind of reminded me, because all my life I've been involved in athletics, and I can remember football practice where we would, you know, we'd come out there and we'd do the jog around the track, you know, a mile, and then we start running plays and learning different plays. And then at the end of the workout, they work on the alactic system, because we do wind sprints. And man, that was like running 40-yard sprints at full speed. You have to run 10 of them, and by the eighth or ninth, you'd be barfing. A lot of the guys would be, but you had to do that almost every day at the beginning of the season, you know, especially the 2 weeks before the regular season. Man, they almost run you to death, like he says. And I didn't know, you know, and it always put a lot of impact, you know, on the bones with the work type of workouts it was doing, because in the off days, they made the guys go in the gym and lift the weights, you know, do the weight band, strength training. So, you know, and all, what he's saying, all that kind of come to me, because back then I didn't really know why we were doing it. You did it because the coach said to do it, you know. But I see what he's saying now. You know, I didn't know that all that tied in like that. So,
okay. All right. Well, Brother Ahi.
I was kind of interested in what the brother was just saying about the weight training, because I had heard that once you get to be maybe a senior citizen, the weight training and maybe the more challenging exercises to your joints, like push-ups, were not necessarily good for you. And I'd like to know what the good Dr. Enke would have to say about that. As far as helping to build denser bones.
Dr. Enke, so the weight training.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so.
Especially for seniors.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, there is no age where exercising is not good for you. There is no age. Now, there are types of exercise that, you know, like, so calisthenics is very good for you. Calisthenics is always good for you, right? That would be something like your push-ups or your sit-ups or your squats or your calf raises, your toe raises, you know, doing arm circles and rotating the neck and stuff like that, like just using your body to exercise. Weight training is good, but weight training is dangerous. Weight training is dangerous because you need to build up the body to be able to handle what you're doing. So a lot of times, as we get older, you know, they say, you know, going to work out in the swimming pool is good. The reason why the swimming pool is good, because they have swimming, you know, water weights that you use in the swimming pool, but the water itself gives your body stability. The water itself gives your body stability. So what we want to do, though, is build ourselves back up to where we're not as brittle and we're able to handle more exercise and more work. So it does take a little time to make the adjustments. Like, you can't just jump out there, depending on what kind of shape you're in. You may not even be able to do a straight up push-up. You may have to do what we used to call girly push-ups, you know, where you're doing push-ups on your knees for a while, or you may have to put a BOSU ball under your stomach and just work from there. But, you know, as you build up the strength, it'd be easier to do more challenging push-ups, so to speak. And that's the same with everything else, you know, but you got to do a little bit. And the beauty is, the less weight you can bear, the more productive the exercise is. So, you know, I tell people all the time, like on my channel, one of the big problems that we have is a lot of people are at home watching like bodybuilders and ex-bodybuilders for health information. And a lot of these ex-bodybuilders, you know, they're still, you know, 250, 300 pounds. And these are the guys running these big health platforms. And so a lot of what our idea of exercising is comes through these people, right? It's NFL players and bodybuilders and, you know, almost bodybuilders that couldn't make it in the world of bodybuilding. So they became personal trainers. And so, you know, that's the whole idea. And everything that John Q. Public wants to do for longevity is completely opposite to what we receive normally in that world of health and exercise, even like going to the protein. Most of the proteins that are on the protein market don't address collagen, and collagen is the main protein that you need to address for longevity, right? Branched chain amino acids and things like that, they actually raise the potential for you to develop cancers. So, you know, through activation of your mTOR system. Your mTOR system is what balances your cellular turnover. Like every day, when we're babies, we're basically just making cells. We're making cells, making cells, making cells. Once we get to our prime, we are making just as many cells as our body breaks down every day. So we have a balance. Once we pass our prime, our body begins to start breaking down more cells than we're able to replace. And so now, you know, that's when aging starts to become apparent. The mTOR system is the thing that tells our cells to go into overdrive and continue to make copies, 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 which is cool when you're a baby, or maybe you're an athlete, or you know, something like that. But for John Q. Public, you know, having cells that are overactive that want to just reproduce, 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 you know, puts us in a potential cancer, in the potential cancer space. So I'm saying that to say, a lot of what we have traditionally from the exercise space is driven by, you know, it's not driven by longevity. Our bodybuilders, our athletes, they don't have longevity. These are not the people that are living to be 80, 90, 100 years old. The only athletes that we really have that live long is basketball. You know, basketball athletes live long because the what they do is very similar to the things that you need to do for longevity. They're not pressing the body to build itself, you know, more than the bones can handle or the heart can handle. So, but yeah, there's definitely no, now we're not talking about using weights. You know, you can use weights if you're using light weights, but no, using your body weight is the most important thing. Using your body weight is the most important thing. And really jogging, jumping rope, doing jumping jacks, jogging, jumping rope. Those are the things that I'm talking about in terms of shocking the system. Those are the things that'll keep your bones growing. You don't necessarily have to like be doing 1,000 push-ups or bench pressing, no weights and stuff like that. You know, just things like that. And as far as your joints, you know, there's two aspects when you're dealing with joints. There's the bone, so you know, the pressure, you know, you need the pressure of using them. But then there's the synovial fluid, right? And so the synovial fluid has a lot to do with pressure as well and how much you're using the joints. You know, people don't have, like children and athletes typically don't have, you know, unless it's overuse, like they don't have underuse issues. The majority of our society is suffering from underuse issues. So, you know, that's what we got to worry about more so than, unless we're doing like too much, right? But most of us are not in the space where we're doing too much. We're not doing enough. And a lot of times, you know, we can go from sedentary to doing too much because maybe like, you know, our mind may have a memory of us being athletes, or maybe we used to work out a lot or whatever the case may be. So we might want to go back to doing what it is that we used to be able to do. And that can also be dangerous. You know, we got to go back to the framework of crawl before you walk and then fall before you run. Not even walk before you run, fall before you run. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's been my issue, because every time I go back to play basketball, I think I overdo it. So now I have to take a different approach versus, you know, trying to get out there and do some things that my body is just not able to do at the moment.
Yeah, no.
That's a good point that you made right there.
Yeah, let me expound on that for just a second before you before we transition to somebody else. That's one of those things that'll sneak up on you, because a lot of times, if we're not a pro, we think of these things as pastimes. you know, like depending on what our culture is, you know, if you're from Black culture, you know, it's primarily basketball or football. If you're from white culture, you know, you might get out there, try to do some baseball or some softball. If you're from, you know, like Europe or Africa or maybe South America, you might get out there and try to run around and do some soccer. All of these sports are a complex. Like they put a complex demand on your body. So that is definitely dangerous if we're going from a sedentary lifestyle to just talking crazy on the phone with the fellas or maybe your nephew or your son or whatever, and then you just find yourself out there in the driveway trying to hoop or, you know, going to the park to play some soccer, like that. Last year, and I guess God put it on so I could catch it, because I rarely watch TV, but last year is the first time I ever saw it. They put a commercial on TV. I don't know if it was nationwide or it might've just been Michigan, but they were warning people over the age of 50 and 60, like if you're over your, if you're in your 50s, 60s or older, not to overexert yourself, like mowing the lawn and doing things like that. When I seen the commercial, I initially bust out laughing, but I talked to my neighbor about it and he was like, yeah, because whoop. So he had, you know, he's older than me. So he had friends that, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna have to address this conversation. You know what I'm saying? So I start, you know, doing videos about, you know, it's one thing to be protective, but it's another thing when the protection actually becomes counterproductive. And so if your body is not in shape enough for you to do housework, because that could be too much exertion on your body, the last thing that you should do is stop being active. Now, you may have to dial it back some and build yourself up, like take that as a warning. You know, you got to build it up before you get out there. So if you're getting ready to try to play some sports, just be mindful. The one thing that you can't do is decide, you know, at 3 o'clock, you know, you're getting ready to go out there at 4 o'clock and play some ball, or decide on Thursday, you get ready to run some, you know, play some ball on Saturday. You need a couple of months. You need a couple of months to ramp that thing up, to get it ready to be playing. You have to prepare your body almost like an athlete would, like they have their off season where they are not actually off. The off season for a professional athlete is where they're preparing and doing their most rigorous training to get ready to last throughout the season. So we got to do that like that. You know what I'm saying? We got to build up. And we got to start to get a little bit more of an idea of how the anatomy functions, so that way we can work it that kind of way. You know, we have our own little daily like prayer system that we do, that we've been cultivating, where we do toe raises, heel raises, squats, push-ups, jumping jacks, just as a way, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day to get the blood and the nervous system to fire from the feet. So you get the blood and the nerves in the feet to function, right? Through the muscle tissue in the feet and the lower legs. Then you move on up gradually to the upper legs and the midsection, and you extend that, and it just takes 3-4 minutes. You know, it's not a long thing that we do, 4 minutes. I try to get people to do it 5 times a day. But if you just do it a couple times a day, it's still beneficial, because we have to get those things to work together. The circulatory system and the nervous system and the muscles. So that's the other thing, is that the muscles are not dormant tissue. You know, there's one time where people learned about muscles and all muscles did is contract or relax and, you know, basically tug on the bone. But now we're learning that the muscle is, you know, producing, you know, myokines, which basically act like hormones. And, you know, the muscle functions as a secondary pump around the body for the heart and metabolizing, you know, helps to metabolize food. And, you know, so it just, the muscle tissue is an active part. So, you know, we got to get a deeper understanding of the body to keep the body. There's no part of our body that stays healthy if we're not using it daily. Like, unfortunately, the world that we have built is not necessarily the world that God created. God created the potential for us to create this, build all of these tools and make life easier for us. But, you know, we have to use that infinite wisdom to understand that we have to stay in tune with our environment, because our environment is guiding how our cells develop. And so as we are now able to drastically change our environment, we have to keep in mind that all these changes in the environment are changing our body. You know, when I lived in Atlanta, it was the craziest thing I had never seen. Because I was from, you know, being from New York, we have apartment buildings and tenement buildings, things like that. So your mailbox is inside your building. When I moved to Atlanta for the first time, I know I'm going on and on, but when I moved to Atlanta for the first time, this is a crazy thing. People are so fat, right, that a lot of people drive around the supermarket in the little driving things that's supposed to be for the disabled, but they're just riding around because they can't walk around the supermarket. So the craziest thing that I had seen down there was that like 90% of the people drove their car to the mailbox. Now, the way it is down there in Atlanta is you got like subdivisions. And so you got your house or whatever the case may be, and there's like one particular area inside the subdivision where all the mailboxes are. So people are like driving there. And I'm like, this is the thing that we have to stop doing. You know, people need to walk to the store, walk to the mailbox, go to the playground with your children. Like, you know, even now we have a crop of children that are insanely weak, because they don't play anymore. They play in their mind. Instead of going to the park to play basketball, they're playing basketball on the Xbox. You know, instead of going to the park to play football, they're playing Madden on the Xbox. So, you know, we just gotta take it a little bit slower because our body is not ready. But because our body's not ready, it doesn't mean to be inactive. We have to just, you know, love the ankles, you know, love on them a little bit, build them up, you know, ankle surgery. You know, people are replacing their ankles like shoes and purses nowadays, you know, and that's problematic, but our ignorance creates a lot of money for some folks. So, you know, the people that know better aren't necessarily, they don't really have a vested interest in teaching the population to do better. They're just positioning themselves to make a, you know, make a killing off of, pun intended, make a killing off of people's ignorance.
Yeah, so, you would call that capitalism at its best.
Or it's worse. Or it's worse, because capitalism can thrive even in a positive space where people benefit from, you know, like, it doesn't have to be driven off of people's ignorance, even though, you know, we kind of are. That's kind of how it is now. It's just the, you know, the land of the blind and the one-eyed man, you know, kind of thing.
Okay, let me go to Professor Rock. Can you unmute Professor Rock?
Appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. First of all, I want to say Asante Sana, many thanks for you coming on, brother, and talking.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Your health is the number one thing. As you get older, you realize that maintenance of health is very important on all levels, from nutrition to staying active, as you say. But But I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, is there, because, you know, the title of the program was Bone Regeneration. When you, are you, how do you do that?
So the first part, you know, I probably was talking too fast, but basically the way your bones are designed, you have your bones balance themselves in order to be able to carry your body every day. And everybody's body basically has a different amount of pressure based on what it is you do every day. So the less we exercise, the more our bones literally break down in order to just be able to manage our daily load of pressure. Because your bone is some of the most expensive tissue that you have in your body in terms of nutrition, water, and resources. So your body is managing resources. So you have two categories of cells that are managing your bones. You have osteoclasts and osteoblasts. And the more pressure you put on your body just by exercising, the more your bones pull nutrients, pull minerals in to make your bones thicker, denser, and stronger. The more you use your joints, the more the synovial fluid pulls itself into the more synovial fluid is created. The less you use your bones, the less you walk, the less you run, the more you sit. The less you run, the less you walk, the less you jump, the more you sit, the more your bones break down and become less dense. So the first thing before the nutrition is basically to flip the on switch to building. And you do that by putting a load on your body every single day. Not the traditional way we think of working out, where it's like, oh, I'll go to the gym, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, you know, or if I can't make it, or I only made it once or twice last week. Like that's not going to cut it. For your bones, it has to be something every single day so that your body understands, oh, I have to be able to manage this. I have to be able to walk 2 miles, 3 miles, 5 miles. I have to be able to. And so your body is going to build your bones strong enough to be able to do that. And that's where you move into the nutrition part. That's where the vitamin D becomes important, calcium, maybe even strontium, you know, for people that really need help building their bones, right? Strontium performs a lot of the same thing, jobs in your body as calcium, is just a little stronger. But yeah, that's where the vitamin D, the strontium, calcium, and then in terms of the collagen, that's where the proline, glycine, hydroxyproline comes into play, and then making sure your body has the lysine, vitamin C, copper, all of those things will be the nutrients. So you'd have one layer of nutrients, which is your vitamin D and your calcium. The next layer of nutrients would be glycine with a G, because some people, when I say glycine, they think I'm saying lysine. Glycine and lysine are two different things. So it's vitamin D and calcium, then it's glycine, proline, and hydroxyproline. And then it's vitamin C, copper, and lysine. Those are your nutrients that's going to primarily put your body into a bone building kind of space, right? And then you're going to need vitamin K. A lot of us are going to need to up our vitamin K depending on, you know, how much vegetables and things like that we eat throughout the day. We're probably going to need to up our vitamin K to make sure that we don't have calcium building up inside our circulatory system. The vitamin K is going to make sure that all the calcium goes into the bone as opposed to floating around in the circulatory system. And that's how you get bone regeneration going on. It's the exercise first and then the nutrition.
Okay. You know, I talked PE for years, And you know, I was a basketball player. I can't remember how you generate bone. I mean, like I thought like when people tear their meniscus or something in their knee and the bone's on bone, you can regenerate bone material to deal with that. But then the other point is that, you know, age, well, genetics plays a lot into it. You can inherit various forms of illnesses that affect your bone. You know, sometimes cancer, you get cancer in your bone. And then second, you know, it's a, you know, you have fragile bones in your foot and stuff like that, a whole bunch of bones in your foot and things of that nature, baby bones. And my point is that, you know, it's very, I understand building muscle, building tissue through exercise, building endurance and a sense of vitality through nutrition and vitamins. But I'm because you know you can get treatment for that, you can get herbs for that, you can get shots and things of this nature, Sensipar to keep the bones in your neck strong. But what I'm asking you is that, is there any aspect of treatment? Because see, when you're exercising, and as you were saying, you're not only helping your bones, you're helping your whole physiological system. You know, I mean, it's not just your bone. I mean, you know, you can have an exercise for your arm muscles and your leg muscles, thigh muscles. But when you just exercising the exercise, you know, you're helping your whole body, you know, when you do calisthenics and things of this nature. Is there any specific herbs or anything that would help regenerate? I mean, they talk about testosterone, and as well as you know, certain things, like they used to say, drink milk that got calcium in it. And
no, okay, so yeah, no, testosterone, yeah, let me jump in. Testosterone doesn't have calcium in it or anything like that.
No.
What testosterone is so what a lot of people are getting now is hormone replacement therapy, right? So hormone replacement therapy, here's the thing. There's no way that we ever get to escape the actual blueprint and design of how our body is. So over time, they have developed shots. You know, you can get hormone treatment and various things like that that will temporarily alleviate, you know, a variety of symptoms. But that's like sticking your finger in a dike or in a dam that has a crack. That's not necessarily fixing the situation. That's not the same as, and here's the thing, if you have a background in sports, right? If you have a background in sports, because when I had a sports clinic in Detroit, you know, I tell this story all the time because at the time when it happened, I didn't really have, there wasn't a bunch of research on it. Now there's a lot more research, you know, in the scientific journals and things like that. But at the time, I had a father. He had a high school athlete. I think his son played football. He tore his ACL and he drove from Ohio to come to my sports clinic to you know, to get my second opinion on what he should do with his son. And, you know, the question was surgery or go the natural route. And I told him, And a lot of people online, when I discussed it online, they jumped on me because, you know, people online are, you know, it's a little crazy on the online universe. But I told him that he probably wanted to go ahead and get his son surgery because, you know, your body can heal naturally. Your body can do a lot of things naturally. But if you're under a timeline, right? And so when you get into sports, it's not that your body can't heal by itself. It's not that your body can't regenerate by itself. That's not the reason why they're having surgeries, because they have hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some athletes have millions of dollars on, you know, contracts that they've signed. So they have a timeline where they have to get back in the game as soon as possible. So you may be able to go ahead and have a surgery and then be back playing in 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, where if you're trying to heal naturally, it might take you 18 months or 24 months. So it's kind of always been known that the body heals itself. Even when you go have the surgery, they take tissue from one area in your body, usually your hamstring or somewhere like that, and they'll just sew it into where the ACL or the PCL or the MCL broke. And that tissue, once it's integrated, you know, your body does all the magic. All they do is cut the tissue and sew it into where the broken one was. But your body still does all of the magic in terms of regenerating. So that's never really been in question as to how your body can, you know, how or whether your body can heal itself. It's just a matter of our lives that we've created for ourselves and timelines. If you have a job or sport that you're playing professionally, you know, or depending on how your life is set up, you know, you might be a single parent with a bunch of small children. So how fast you heal from an injury, that's kind of different than what I'm talking about in terms of longevity and being able to rebuild your bone density back to the levels where you were, you know, in your 20s and your 30s. And, you know, you could run, jump, walk, play a game or two, or do what you wanted to do without necessarily needing like painkillers or, you know, shots or different treatments. Just rebuilding back your bone structure to where you can be healthy and manage your own weight. That's different than necessarily like, you know, being an athlete and suffering from overuse and some of those things and being on the contract and the clock and stuff like that. What I'm talking about is building your bone back up naturally and then being able to maintain it. So as we get older, we don't lose functionality. As we get older, we're not in danger of, you know, slipping and falling and breaking our bones because they're unnecessarily brittle. You know, having brittle bones is not necessarily something that happens with age. The thing that happens with age is we stop using, we become less active. And your bones are probably the most sensitive tissue that you have in your body to your everyday activity, because you literally have cells in your body that are dissolving your bones when you don't use them. Like, that's literally their job. They dissolve the bone so that you don't have too much bone to pay for. It's like having, this is how your bones work. Let me give you another analogy. It's like being a struggling rapper, maybe. Let's think about a struggling musician. Maybe you play the blues or rock and roll, whatever. You're a struggling musician. Then you write this song, and all of a sudden, this one song is bringing you millions of dollars. And you're 25 years old, and all of a sudden, you got $10, $20 million from this song. And because the money is coming in, you know, you're buying Rolls Royces and $25 cups of coffee, and you in limousines and champagne and boom, 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 boom. 10 years go by, the hits are slowing down. You don't have the hits like that. The money's slowing down. So what you have to do is, well, a lot of people go broke, but what you're advised to do is to have an accountant, have people that know how to manage your money, so that way when less money's coming in, you don't have all of these things that are reverse assets that you're paying $1 zillion for. Like, you don't need to have a Rolls Royce you're paying $5,000 a month for. You could have you a nice Toyota that you're paying $500 a month for, right? And so that's kind of how your bone is managed. You have accountants, you have osteoclasts and osteoblasts. They keep you on a very strict budget. You don't have any more bone than you are using every day. And there's no way to cheat the system. Your body knows exactly what type of exercise you're doing. You could say anything on the internet, but your body is going to keep close track of it. So, you know, like me keeping tabs on a lot of people with their health, you know, sometimes people tell me, oh yeah, I did my steps. Yes, you know, because we try to do between 2,000 and 10,000 steps a day. Oh yeah, I did my steps. Oh yeah, I did my steps. Oh yeah, I did my steps. You can tell me anything, but your body going to keep track of it. And so that's what you really have with these two categories of cells. I would suggest like we just look up some of these things and familiarize ourselves, because even with familiarizing ourselves with some of these concepts will help us to formulate different ways to treat ourselves better every day.
Okay, I'm with that, what you just said. So Professor Rod, was that it? You're on mute.
And I can say this, health is the most important thing. And it's not just bone health, it's your whole tissues and organs and everything that if you focus on that, and a lot of people get unhealthy because they neglect their responsibility to think about health and nutrition at an early. They're not taught. They're taught commercial comfort eating. I can start exercising tomorrow. You know, type of mentality, and they never do. They keep putting it off. Yo-yo, and then there's yo-yo. The people start, stop. There's a lot of factors, and then there's genetic issues, inherited issues that people are born with that causes bone degeneration and muscle deterioration and things of this nature. I mean, there are a lot of diseases out there, a lot of different things. But I was. Really want to, and he answered it, you know, focus on the, not only how you regenerate your bones, but I can regenerate vitality in a sense of feeling young, even though you're not young, you know, and being able to do things. You know, there's people 80 that can, touch their toes, and there's people 12 that can't. You understand? Right. And it's a different thing. And so, but you know, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, what we're discussing tonight. That's all I had to say.
Okay, thank you, Professor Rod. We have somebody that come in on the iPhone. Are you able to unmute, iPhone user?
Hi, this is Mashariki.
Hey, Mashariki.
Hey. I'm in the car, so I'm just, you know, moving through the town. I thought I would tune in.
Okay. Did you have a question or a comment about the topic?
How does that relate to torn meniscus or even having knee replacements? You know, that seems to be a big thing right now. It was suggested that I do that, but you know, I'm still walking and swimming.
Yeah, hip replacement, all of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I would suggest, unless you have some sort of, unless you have something that's demanding you heal faster, I would stick with the natural paradigm. I would stick with the water work. I would stick with the exercising. I would stick with the walking. You know, just be mindful that, you know, you don't do too much. You know, you don't do too much. Maybe make sure you use a brace so that you're not putting too much pressure. But yeah, I would stick with what you got going on. That's the way to go. Just make sure you have the nutrition to match what it is that, you know, what it is that you're trying to do. Make sure you're getting enough of the collagen specific amino acids every day. That's a big thing that a lot of people are, and that's just programming. We've had branch chain amino acids shoved down our neck for the last 30 or 40 years, primarily because of, you know, we following bodybuilders, and those aren't the proteins or those aren't the amino acids that those proteins are built from. So we just got to make sure we're getting in a good amount of glycine, proline, hydroxyproline. Those are the three main amino acids. And then the accessory nutrients would be the lysine, the vitamin C, the copper, you know, and that's it. You know,
what
just
about magnesium?
Well, magnesium is good for the body in general, but but it's not necessarily a part of the bone matrix. Yeah, it's not necessarily a part of the bone matrix, but yeah, we need magnesium for all our muscles. So magnesium is a muscle nutrient primarily. You know, you have calcium, which flexes the muscle, and magnesium, which relaxes the muscle. So so we need magnesium for that. And then you also need magnesium because your cells can't really metabolize energy without magnesium. So we think of, like, when we get into conversations about mitochondria and electron transport chain and stuff like that, we think of ATP as the energy source, but typically ATP has to be bonded to magnesium in order for our body to use it. And if we go back, like I was saying earlier, if we go back to how nature is set up, because we, you know, we get away a lot of time from God's design, but all of our carbohydrates, a carbohydrate is a carbon fixed to a water molecule. And in a plant kingdom, it's going to be attached to pigments, you know, vitamins and minerals. The pigment primarily is going to be chlorophyll. And chlorophyll is green because of its magnesium content. So if you think away the way it's designed, the carbohydrates, the way nature packages sugar that we turn into ATP, it packages it with the magnesium. So now we're eating a lot of stuff from packages and boxes, and things are just not necessarily packaged the natural way. But, you know, as we get into our health bag, you know, we just got to get back to, you know, get back to those natural, you know, natural instincts, natural tendencies, and just try to remember, like, okay, how is the system designed? Because our system is designed to couple with the way things are packaged in nature. Even athletes now are doing like stem cell treatments, you know, and you know, those are really good for people that can afford them. You know, so if people
right.
cheat code, if you got the money, you know, getting a shot of stem cells is great for you to replenish your tissues that are slow to regenerate. But if not, and you balling on a budget or extreme budget like me, eating a lot of this is a fact. But eating a lot of leaves is good. Leaves is nature's stem cell treatment. And when I say leaves, I don't necessarily mean like kale, collards, things like that. Those are green leafy vegetables. I'm thinking more like arugula leaves, spinach, tau, like those things. And they sell those in the supermarket now for like $4 or $5. You can get them on clearance for $2-3. But yeah, eating a lot of greens like that. Because if you notice, there's a lot of little bears and things like that. These are big, strong, healthy animals that just eat a lot of leaves. We don't really think about the power that's in a leaf, you know. So leaves are really good in terms of activating satellite cells and stem cells to help speed up recovery.
As I was diagnosed with a... They said that I'm knock-kneed, and that knock-kneed is a disease. and therefore I need surgery.
Yeah, if you want to get them straightened out. But here's the thing where lifestyle comes in. That's why I keep mentioning your lifestyle. Like, you know, to a hammer, everything is a nail. So most people, and let me add this too, most people aren't really aware that the hospital system, the healthcare system has underwent some changes in how, you know, doctors and things like that are getting paid. And so a lot of times now it's like pay to play. It's almost like commission based. The more surgeries, the more money they make. So depending on the doctor, you know, they just trying to get the surgery in. You know what I'm saying? Like they just trying to get the surgery in. So, you know, if you don't need the, and this is where we got to kind of safeguard ourselves and figure out like for our lifestyle, what it is that we got going on. If we don't really need the surgery, we don't need the surgery. Like you might, you know, already have your job, your life, your children, your woo-woo going on, and they're saying you need a corrective surgery, which like if you were to straighten out your legs, how would it improve your relationship with your children or your ability to pay your rent or your bill? Like if you don't need it, you don't need it. Like that's just, you know, but now if there's a situation where you feel like you could benefit, you just gotta weigh, you know, the benefits versus the potential, you know. So that's another conversation we've been having lately. Just learning how the system of thinking is taught in the medical field is probability. And a lot of people don't understand that doctors are dealing with probability. They don't have exacts. It's probability. Well, this will probably go like this. You'll probably get these benefits. You'll probably have this. And there are potential side effects, but the risk of that is this, that, and the other. Those risks are assessed by probability numbers. They're not really assessed by actual risk factors. They're just saying, hey, out of every 100 people, only 20 people have the negative impact, or only 30 people have the negative impact. So going by that, yeah, you should probably be one of the 60 or the 70 that, you know, this works out fine. So,
I asked him, you know, what's I wh if I don't do it, am I going to stop being able to walk, or am I going to be an invalid? Will I be in a wheelchair? Do I need a walker? He said no. He said, but your
boom.
leg is going to look differently. And I'm like, then I'll wear dresses.
Right, but how you been doing it your whole life is how you going, like it just you know, so it, you know, it's really personalized, you know what I'm saying? What we have going on in our life, what our resources are, you know, because if we're swimming in you know, millions or billions, or you know, we got infinite resources. On one hand, we might say, you know what, let me go ahead and get the surgery because I got the money. But then on the flip side, you might say, I have everything I need already. I still don't need the surgery, even with the millions of. So it just really comes down to personal, you know, personal choice sometimes, especially if it's not something that's detrimental to your life.
Right. So I keep walking, swimming, you know.
Yeah, because even people, like the brother was bringing up, even people that have genetic proclivities to certain issues with their bone or their muscles or whatever the case may be, eating right and exercising correctly only help those things. Yeah, it only helps those situations. So even in those situations, obviously you need more care. You need to be more careful about how you design your program, but yeah, it still only benefits you.
Yep, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for tapping in.
Have a good evening. I have to leave. I'll catch everybody on another one. Thank you very much for all this informative information. Okay. Good
Thank
night.
you. So what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna go to Sister Sophia. Sister Sophia is the reason why Dr. Inky is here. and she always helped
Close
me.
us out.
Yes. So I'm going to go to her for the concluding question or comment. Sister Sophia?
Hello there. Thank you for having me. It's quite an honor. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Great. Yeah. Yes, the point where Dr. Enke has been talking about putting pressure on bones, a great example would also be like astronauts when they go up in space, they lose up as much as up to 20% of their bone mass. So that's because there's no pressure in, you know, there's no gravity, less gravity in space. So that's just one example. And then also like with the hormone, like things like too much salt, too much sugar, because when you're feeding bacteria sugar, the bacteria creates waste that's acidic, and that those acids eat up, you know, the bones and cause calcium to be leached out of the bones to try to, you know, neutralize those acids in the body. So, and also like with women in particular, like men tend to be balanced throughout their lives, but women, when they hit menopause, they lose like their ability to make more estrogen, like their ovaries start to slow down in creating estrogen or even stop making estrogen. And so when that happens, then the body is not able to build the bones as well. So because the estrogen binds to the receptors of the surface of the osteoclast cells, the ones that break down the bones, so which
That's right.
helps prevent them from functioning, you know, the way they should. So that's why older women are more vulnerable to that, but with what Dr. Enke has been saying. But also with the Mama Atomics, the products on AmericanHealer.website, Mama Atomics is loaded with minerals, and that's, I think it's really important to mention that. And the Blue Magic with the, you know, several other products, because, you know, Blue Magic has Chondrus crispus, which is a sea algae that has the highest content of phosphorus, which, you know, is important in building the bones. So, yeah, so he, the products on AmericanHealer.website, not .com, but that website really, I think, can help people that really need it. And not to mention that, you know, with the track record that Dr. Enke has and helping so many people, they're, you know, proven in his documentary, American Healer documentary, which is on the front page of AmericanHealer.website, explains like how, you know, people, you know, his daughter, unfortunately, Amber, who got, you know, hit by a car and broke multiple bones, and Dr. Enke is able to like bring her back when several doctors didn't even think she would make it. So, you know, relatively within months. So,
those you have some books too on the subject. I don't know if everybody can see me holding these books up, but these books, it's called 360 Sports Articulations. It's basically on bone and joint health. It's three volumes on bone and joint health. So try to get, you know, people some idea of it, but you know, you're really hitting the nail on the head in terms of, well, the books are on Amazon. Let me say that the books are on Amazon, but
under Dr. Enke, yes.
Yeah.
Real, R-E-A-L.
Yeah, you're really hitting the nail on the head, because I try to really stress to people the idea that your bones are piezoelectric crystals. And so even if we just think of crystals, crystals never stop growing. That's how we get these pictures that look amazing, where we see like somebody is in a cave and they got these big, big quartz crystals that they standing next to. That's because crystals never stop growing unless we take them out of the ground. And they continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow because Earth puts a steady amount of pressure on the crystals. So we just have to make sure that we're putting a steady amount of pressure on our piezoelectric crystals. And those pressure waves, those mechanical waves, convert into digital signals that tell our cells, you know, build, 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 build. So I just wanted to just add that part in there about the piezoelectric nature, because, you know, I don't think we really, like, we say that piezoelectric, but I don't think people really grasp the idea that you have piezoelectric crystals in your body, and they're piezoelectric for a reason. Like, that's literally the nature of how your bones work. You know, the more pressure waves that we put on them, you know, and not to like overload ourselves. Like, that's how you hurt yourself. You know, you just try to bench press or squat like 8,000 pounds or something crazy. But no, just daily, you know, if you have a lifestyle where you're sitting down all day, maybe you're a teacher, so you know, you sit down at work, or, you know, you're sitting down in the office, maybe you're a social worker or some type of executive or whatever. You just have to remember to stop sitting. Try to stand up for most of your day, right? That right there is the first level of just adding pressure. That can be consistent daily. Instead of sitting all day at work, try to stand up for most of your day at work. You know, and I used to make the same mistake myself, you know, typing up books, writing books. I'd be sitting down all day. Now I try to stand while I write, you know, while I'm typing and texting and researching and things like that. So it doesn't have to be something crazy. It just has to be daily, and you build, you know, you add something, and, you know, let 3 or 4 months go by. 3 or 4 months, you know, 90 days to 120 days is your blood cycle. So let 90 or 120 days go by with your new thing that you've added. Whether you're taking 2,000 extra steps a day, or you just standing up at work, let 3-4 months go by. So your bones have an ability to adjust, and then you add something else on, and then you add something else on. And before you know it, you're ready to get back on the basketball court or run around with your children, or, you know, you'll start to experience some of that vitality, because a lot of what we know of as vitality comes from our bones keeping a good amount of immune cells in circulation and red blood cells in circulation, which is the medium between our metabolism and our respiratory system. You know, our metabolism is breaking down glucose, but our respiratory system is providing oxygen and getting rid of, you know, carbon dioxide. So the faster and more efficient those two systems run, the more we experience vitality.
Well, with that, I think we're going to conclude the evening. And
oh yeah, and his most important book, Piezoelectric Chemistry.
Piezoelectric Chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like really important to get, like, of all the books. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to conclude here. I appreciate Dr. Inky coming on again, and
thank you.
I'm sure you will be back. Because you're unofficial team member now.
Hey, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm glad to be down.
You know why I said that? Because I haven't asked you to be a team member, but you come enough to be one. So
hey, I'm just happy to be down. Yes, sir.
But yeah, I appreciate everybody being here this evening, and the information was excellent as usual. And we're give us something to go think about and research, you know. And that's what we need to do. And we definitely need to add to exercising, moderate exercising. That's what I would say. Keep in
daily.
Mind.
Yeah. Daily. Daily.
Okay, so Professor Rod, you can you unmute? Did we get our guest for next Tuesday?
I call you tomorrow. I'm trying to get diabetes. He hadn't called me back yet. Said he was gonna call me back.
Okay.
And you know he does a lot of productions of conscious cartoons and stuff like that.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway, it's not we're going to talk about you know how we're going to deal with this political atmosphere.
Okay. You
know, especially the attack on black women, Maxine Waters, Miss Crockett, you know, Stacey Abrams. I mean, they're going after all the strong sisters that's out there, so that may be it, but I'll let you know tomorrow for sure.
Okay. So next Wednesday, we have the Shield of Valor coming back on, and the featured guest is Bess Gamble Williams. And as you can see, this flyer and kidnapped and trafficked. Are we safe? So that's what we're going to have next Wednesday. So join us if you can. So, Dr. Inke has left. So appreciate everybody coming out this evening. So we're going to take our pause. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Have a rest of a good day.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
It's an honor to have you. Thank you.